Today's daf from Masechet Kiddushin brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is daf Lamed, and we're holding right after the Maisa of Gira Be'enecha, in the terms of the Satan. We're talking about by what point you should get married, and at what point it's kedai to be doicha marriage for learning. Omele Ravel or Nosim Barami, in general, Adiyadach al Tzavarei Devrich, as long as you've got some control over your kids, so then you're mechuyev to take care of him and make sure that things get done. What do I mean? From the time he's 16 until the time he's esrim v'tarte, until he's 22 years old. So don't be harsh on a kid before he's 16. He can't really take all of your ruchnias. He's a kid. But after that, he's still liable to listen to you. Beyond that, don't be mochiach him too much, because you'll push him away from you and he'll go in the wrong direction. And some say, from the time that he's 18, even until he's 24, obviously, maturation is different for different people. Kitanoi, chanoch lenar al pi darko. So what do we call a nar? So we have the same machlokes among the Tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemya, chadamar mishit sar v'yad esrim v'tartin, v'chadamar mitman yisrei v'yad esrim v'arba'a. So now, the question is that we've been talking about the need of Talmud Torah. So this is, Daf is interested in defining that mitzvah. Ad heichan chayav adam lelamed et beno Torah. So to what extent, how much does he have to learn? How long does he have to learn? Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, kegon Zvulun ben Dan, the famous guy at the time of the Gemara. And this man was taught by his grandfather, Limdo Avi Aviv, Mikra, Mishnah, the Talmud, Halachas, Vagodas. So over here, his grandfather taught him everything. He knew Tanakh, he knew Mishnayas, he knew Shas, he knew the Halachas, the Vagodas. Meisvei. It says in the Brayta, Limdo Mikra, Ein Melamdo Mishnah, that if a father actually was zeche to teach him Tanakh, then he's not mechuyev to go further than that. V'yomar Rava, when you say Mikra, don't think it means Tanakh. It means Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Mikra Zu Torah. So why is Shmuel saying over here that you're mechuyev to teach him everything? Mikra, the whole Tanakh, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachas, Agadais. I don't get it. No, when we said Kizvulun Ben Dan, we didn't mean entirely Kizvulun Ben Dan. We meant to use Kizvulun Ben Dan as a remez to a different halach. Namely, Kizvulun Ben Dan in terms of the fact that it was a grandfather. And that tells me the halacha that there's a chiyuv even on a grandfather, which means that what we were understanding, ad heichan, is not ad heichan how much. He was coming to say ad heichan in terms of how many generations are you mechuyev to teach. That's the point. So Shmuel said, here's Zvulun Ben Dan, who was teaching the third generation, not only his second generation. That's the point. Kizvulun Ben Dan Shalimdo Av Yaviv. He didn't mean to say, Kizvulun Ben Dan Ad Heichan, how much do you have to teach? Because the Ilhasim, you're right. He went overboard. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachas, Agodais, the Ilhacha, Mikolavad. But in terms of the Chiev of Shmuel, the Chiev is only in terms of Mikra. Now, Lemaisa, remember that there's a very big problem here. And when we learned Hilchos Talmud Torah and the Rambam, we discussed this issue, that there's really two different elements, which is the amount, and then there's the question of the ability to learn. So we had the whole question before about Rav Acha and Rav Yaakov, but Rav Acha bar Yaakov, right? I mean, obviously, he wasn't going to yeshiva to learn Mikra. And he wasn't sending his child to Abaye to learn Mikra, was he? No, Yehu Lilmod, Ubno Lilmod, where it's a function of how smart you are and to be able to retain the sugyas that you're learning. I mean, that's not Mikra. That's Teresh Baal Peh, and that's Svora, and that's Gemara, and that's what he went to Abaye for. So how come we're saying over here the Chiyav is only Mikra, and yet we see that we consider the chiyuv over here for the son, right? A lot of discussion in the Achronim about this, whether maybe there's two separate Chiyuvim in terms of the Etzem Torah that he has to know, and then the Stam, of general Chiyuv, of being Mechanech, your child. Okay, we talked about it in the Rambam in a more halachic take of fashion, but all right, this is not place for it. I'm just raising that there seems to be two completely different issues here. But wait, is a grandfather Chayev? Since the Torah stresses that you have to do this to your children, b'neichem implies v'lo b'nei b'neichem. So then how do I explain the pasuk v'hodatam l'vanecha l'gnei v'necha yom asher amadata l'fnei Hashem l'kecha? What happened about that? It says b'feresh l'gnei b'necha. Ah, that's coming to tell me. V'omar lecha shekol ha'melamed et b'no Torah ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu limdo lo v'livno u'leven v'no at sof kol ha'dorot. So since it says over there that you should, it doesn't mean you're mechuyev, but it means that if, l'maisi, you taught your children, so then you're teaching all of the generations to come. And if, l'maisi, you ended up directly teaching a ben b'no, then it's yom hasham adat alifna hasham l'kecha b'sina. You're sitting over there on Har Chorev, and it's as if, Udi Omar, it's as if you actually taught all of those doros. And why does Shmuel say what he says? Because it's actually not a chiyuv, but this is talking about, this breita is one man di Omar, but Shmuel was going like this breita. Udi Omar ki haitana, the Tanya. So then why does it say b'neichem? To teach me b'neichem, as we said before, v'lo b'notechem. So therefore, Shmuel also has a brighter going like him. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol ha'melamed et ben b'no Torah, ki ilu melamala levakatuv, ki ilu kibla mi'ar Sinai, sh'nemar v'odatam levanecha livnei v'necha, and then right afterwards, it says, Yom Asher Amadata Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'chorev. So then that means that it's as if, it's not, there's a discussion in Achronim. That means that the child was as if he was Mekabelet on Har Chorev, or it means that by teaching it to your grandchild, you are Zoyche to be learning that Torah, Ki Ilu, you were standing on Har Sinai. Rubchia Barava Ashkel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Shadi Disney Areshe. So Reb Chiya once bumps into Reb Yeshua ben Levi. This is crazy. He was put on a sheet over his head. The Kamanti Leliyanukal of Eknishtan, he was dragging his grandson. He was bringing to the Beit HaKnesset to learn. Apparently, he didn't have enough time to put on proper clothing. He normally would have put on his turban, and he ran out with a sheet. So Reb Chiya bar Abba said to him, "What's my kulei high? This is a little bit exaggerated, don't you think, to be, like overdoing it a bit? You could have taken 2 minutes to put on your hat." Omar Leis. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to him, "What, you think that it's a small thing? Mizuter my dechtiv, lodatem levanecha levnei vanecha, yom asher amadata lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev? This is something that you can wait 1 minute for? Are you kidding? An opportunity to take my grandchild to learn here? And I shouldn't grab it. I should worry about whether I'm wearing the right hat. I'm perfectly happy putting a sheet on my head." By the way, this relates, I forgot to talk to you about the question of not wearing. He said, the reason that my head isn't covered is because I'm not married. As you know, there's a lot of discussion about this issue. Do Bochrim wear talitot or not? This is like a big deal. You know, the Ashkenazim and some of the Kehilas Ashkenazim that are so makbid, you know, Bochrim shouldn't wear talitot. Others that say, this is a big mistake. There's no such thing. It means they shouldn't cover their head with the talit. It doesn't mean they shouldn't wear talitot. There's an Indian not to cover your head unless you're already a Talmud Chochem who's married, and so on. But as you know, the Sephardim don't take this at all Seriously, they don't know that there's an issue of covering your head, but the Gemara has to be explained according to both approaches. But again, we need to rush ahead today. But okay, so mikan ve'elech, Rabbi Chiya bar Rava, lo toin umtza. So after that maisa, where he learned from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi what it means to take a child or a grandchild to learn, he would not eat even the tiniest breakfast. You know, they used to have a little small piece of meat. Until he learned with his grandchild, and he added one more thing than what he had from before. Then he was ready to eat breakfast. Rabba Ravuna wouldn't taste anything at the Maisili Yanuka Lebet Bindrasha. He would have to bring him first to the Beis HaMedrash to learn, then he could start thinking about his own day. Omrev Safra Mishumet, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So what's this lotion of vishinantem? So vishinantem, if we'd say vishinita, so vishinita means you should go over it, you should review it. That's Mishnah, something that you chazer over again and again, and you structure for them. But what's the additional nun? Vishinantem. So I'll take vishinantem. Read that as vishilashta. So in other words, you are mechuyev to be mishaneh, and then mishaneh again. So that means basically thirds. What you should do is you should split your life into thirds. And that is the way that you have to take care of yourself. The Olam Yeshalesh Adam Shnotav, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So you should split up your life into three parts. One third you use to becoming a Baki in Tanakh. One third you use for becoming a Baki in Mishnah. And one third you use for Talmud. Talmud, of course, doesn't mean literally Shas. I mean, there's no written Shas necessarily. It means in being able, as the Rambam explains, to be Motzi Dover, Mitach Dover, and to use Lefi, the Emek of the Svar, and the Rilchav, Asher Yesh B'Libay, to the whatever extent is possible for each individual. Says the Gemara, I understand. How can you split up your life when you have no idea how long you're going to live? Miyodea Kamachaya, that you should split up your life? Lo Tzricha Liyumi. It doesn't mean your life. In other words, what it means is there's a big machlokas how to understand it. That you should split a week into like 2 days a week for Torah, for Mikra, 2 days a week. Does it mean that you should split up every single day? And does it mean to literally split up like the Rambam? The Rambam literally analyzes the hours of the day. It talks about how much time you have to sleep and then how much time you use for Mikra, how much up front. Others learn that it's prorated. I mean, Mikra really only takes, let's say, if you want to do the whole Mikra in comparison to doing the whole Shas, you know, so then you should prorate it according to the amount of that Shalish. Okay, these are all different approaches in the Rishonim. And as the Rambam says, this is only Bamedvar Mamurim B'tchilat Limuda. This is only when he's starting to learn, but when he's already is finished and he Einot Tzorech Lachzor Tamid, he doesn't need constant review of Tanakh and constant review of Mishnah. So then, including Kabbalah, as the Rambam says, and Maaseh Merkava, all of those inyanim are included in Gemara. Lefichach, now you should know that level of bekiyas in Tanakh and being willing to spend all of what you've got. That's why they called the early Talmidei Chachamim, they were always referred to as Sofrim. Rashi says we're talking over here in Divrei Hayomim. We talk about the Bnei Rechav. We talk about the Sofrim. Why are they called Sofrim? It's a strange word, but Sofrim means to count. And these were people that would count every single letter in the Torah. Like, for instance, they would say, the Vav of Gachon, that's half of the letters in a Sefer Torah. The words Dorosh, Dorash, Moshe, that's half of the words of the Torah. V'hit Galach, V'tanega lo yitgaleach, that's the half of the Psukim in the Torah. Yechar semena chazir mi ya'ar, the ayin in ya'ar, is exactly half of Sefer Tehillim. V'hurachum yechaperavon is exactly half of the Psukim. So that's people that would, as they say in Yiddish, that they count the very letters. I see we've got a hand up from a Rebbe. That's not a small thing. Yes, Rebbe, sweetie. Talk to us.
It's interesting that even though we raised today the question of whether getting married would take us away from learning, we nevertheless raised the whole nature of learning in this Masechet.
Yes. Yes. On target. On target. Very good, Rebbe. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, well, Bezrat Hashem, we'll be able to discuss that. Anyway, Lemaisa, as you know, this is way off. It's absolutely not true. So the question is, what in the world is going on here? How do we have like something that in the Gemara that is completely off from something that anybody could see by doing this count themselves? So a lot of discussion in this, in which the question is, what exactly constitutes a letter? Because remember that in terms of the safrus of the letter, each letter can consist of many different letters, right? So you have an aleph. So basically you have two yuds with a vav, so on and so forth. So the question is whether the Gemara in fact meant the sifrus in those terms. The same thing is true, incidentally, about the number of words is also completely off. So here also there's a lot of discussion. What constitutes a word if there's a makaf? Is a makaf, does that create one word? Does that create two words? It yields a totally different count of the first half of the Chumash and the second half of the Chumash, depending on how you learn the makafim. The same thing is true, we're going to discuss later on, about the psukim, because some of the psukim were split up differently, as the Gemara is going to explain. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef asked, is the vav of the word gachon, which you said is the halfway point? Apparently he knew it wasn't the halfway point in terms of having half before and half after, but that it was half, that the Torah consists of half and half, so that it wouldn't have an odd number, which the vav would be. So is the vav in the first half or in the second half? He asked this in the Beis HaMedrash. So they said to Rav Yosef, I understand what your problem is. Take out a Sefer Torah, let's start counting. I mean, these guys counted. So what, we don't know how to count? Why can't we count? So take out the Sefer Torah. They say Sefer Torah. Mimnino. Let's take out the Sefer Torah and count. Makes sense, doesn't it? So what happened? They didn't. But that's because, after all, Milama Rabba Barbachana, Lo Zazu Mishama Shavya Sefer Torah Mana Um. So Rabbi Yosef said to them, well, you think I'm not smart enough to figure out that I should ask you a question I can count? We can't count because those people in that time were Baki in the correct Chaseros V'Yaseros, so they could count up the number of letters in the Torah. But if you're not a Baki, where there's supposed to be a Vav, where there's not supposed to be a Vav, is there supposed to be a Yud or not? I mean, so we're not Bekiim in that. Anan lo bekiim, you know? And since we are not bekiim, so how are we supposed to make an accurate count? So that's why I asked it, to know whether anybody has a Kabbalah on the issue. But I understood that there was nothing to do, which is a disaster, as we literally would have no way in order to be able to finish such a count. Wow. Okay. And there was a Maisa once in Rav Kamieski that he took out a Sefer Tehillim to do the exact count of the Sefer Tehillim because of this Gemara that we spoke about here. Okay. Anyway, another question that Rabbi Yosef had. When it said, Vehit galach, v'tanetek lo yigaleach. So that word, which you say is the middle of the circuit, I want to know about this. Is it on the first part or the second part? Again, must have been a Kabbalah that it was not an odd pasuk that was in the middle. So Abaya said, okay, at least we know the psukim, don't we? So let's take out the Sefer Torah and count the psukim. Said Rabbi Yosef, no, we do not know the psukim. The psukim ami lo bekina. Because when Rav Acha bar Abba came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that you should know that you guys read one pasuk that to us in Eretz Yisrael, we read as three separate psukim. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, hinei anochi ba'i lecha ba'ava anan, bavu yishma ha'am bedabrimach, v'gam b'cho yaminu le'olam, v'yaged Moshe divrei ha'am al Hashem. So we read this as one pasuk. And in Eretz Yisrael, they read it as three separate pasukim. By the way, all of these issues are nogeya mamish la'aloch. Because, I mean, let's say, for instance, this question. Suppose somebody had read less than three psukim, and he already made the bracha on Birchas HaTorah. Does he have to go back to read? Or, because now it becomes a suffix, since in Eretz Yisrael, these were three psukim. So we count it as three psukim. Or Benogeh HaSeres V'Yeseres. Let's say that you find something chaser in the Sefer Torah. Would you take it and put it back and exchange the Sefer in the middle of the laning? Since you're not Bekiyim B'Chaseres V'Yeseres, so then you don't have to stop in the middle, and so on and so forth. So all of these fakers are mamish nogeh la'alocha. Tana Rabbanu, 5,888 psukim habis. So here they give us the actual numbers. You should know that the number of psukim in the Torah, 5,888, and in Sefer Tehillim, there's eight more than this, which is a shocking assertion. And Divrei HaYomim has eight less than this. Now, as I said, this is like totally, totally off. And that's, if you do a computer count, I mean, Lamaisa, the number of psukim is 5,845, which is like completely different than what it says over there. So again, as we said, that's because we don't know necessarily, we're not Bekiyim, and how to split up the psukim. Tana Rabbana, Vishinantem. The other meaning of Vishinantem is a lotion of Mishunan, meaning very sharp. Remember Shinana, the God of Yudah Shinana, Sharpie? So Vishinantem means you divrei Torah mechudadim bepicha. These things have to be sharp to you. Im yishalacha adam davar al tegam game the tomarlo. Somebody asks you a din, don't sit there, well, maybe I think that, you know, Ela amor lo miyad, tell him right away. Shineemar emor la chokhma chotiyat. You should say to chokhma, you are my sister. This was the drosha that is just as clear to you that your sister is asura to you, so too should all chokhma be. The oimer koshrim al etzbotecha, kotvei maluach libecha. You have to have it on your fingers, like we say in English, literally. You have to have Torah on your fingers. They should be written right directly on your heart. So all of your children, those are the, like Ben Azai said, these are your Torah, your Chidushay Torah. So these are like arrows that you have to have ready to throw, sharp. It talks about the hero in war, the Gibor. He's got very sharp arrows. These are people that are Isaac bin Mocham to Shabtera. Beautiful, beautiful words. Chitzecha Shinunim. Oh, you've got sharp arrows over there. Amim Tachtecha Yipelu. The various nations will fall beneath you as you expose your Torah and its clarity. The Emir Ashri Agever. Ashemileet Ashpatomiyam. Oh, happy is the man who has a full quiver of those kinds of arrows. Of Kola Tera Kula. And he's got all of these enemies that are there in the Beis HaMedrash. He'll never be shamed, but he's got all of these sharp arrows. He'll knock them all out. Enemies? Who are the enemies? Everybody else. Your Chavrusa, Amr B'chia Baraba, even a father and a son, a Rav and his most beloved Talmud that are learning Torah in one place. They're there in the Beis HaMedrash. They hate each other. Nasim oivim zedze. They become the biggest enemies. You're crazy. What's the matter with you? You're a jerk. What kind of svaras is that? Rachmana litzlan. But enam zazim isham. Achenasim oavim zelaze. But by the time the arguments are ended, it was those arguments that made them the deepest lovers. That's the beautiful pasuk that comes at the end of all of this. Is what does it say? Et vahev besufa, al tikre besufa, ela besufa. There's always love at the end. Vahev is ahava, and that's the entire end of the Yalkein Yom Ruah Moshlim Bo Cheshbon, in the end, all of this fighting. This was the Rabbeinu Bacha this week. It's all about love, right? So this was the Ahava Mesuteret. The end is always going to be the harder the fight, the bigger the fight. And the more shinun there is in your arrows, the greater is the love at the end. Tana Rabbon. Okay, so it says, of course, v'samtem et dvarai ela alav avchem v'al nafshechem. V'samtem is an interesting lashon because it can be broken up into two words. Samtam. Samtam means the perfect medication. So Torah is nimshal to the sam hachayim. It's an actual medication that gives you life. Mashallah adam shikad beno makah gedola. Look, here's a situation where a guy just about beat his kid to death, and he niach lo retial makato, and then he puts this bandage on him with special kinds of ingredients, and he says to him, listen, don't worry about anything. You know, as long as you keep wearing this, as long as you're wearing this beautiful compress of mine, you can eat whatever you want, whatever you enjoy, you can wash, and you can go take a hot shower, a cold shower, and you have nothing to be afraid of. But I'm just telling you, if you take this bandage off, it's going to be real problems. It's going to get infected. It's going to be a disaster. Listen, I really gave you a rough deal over here, beat you to shreds, because I created a Yetzer Hara. The only thing that you have to be the sam tam, the perfect medication against this Yetzer Hara that allows you to survive, is Torah. Torah is Tavlin. That's the only usable, actually, it means over here clearly an antidote is what it means, but that's not what Tavlin is, is it? I mean, Tavlin actually means a sweetener, right? Or a spicy upper. So it's spices. So basically, remember, the amazing thing is that the idea in Klal Yisrael, as I pointed out many times, that's something that is inappropriate, and it's like a sexy kind of thing that is a little bit risque. So we call that in English spicy, and in Lashon HaKodesh that's called tiflus. Tiflus means without any taste; it's tasteless, right? So the Torah Tavlin takes that all those issues which in that a person is involved in life, which is, I mean, that's, you know, it's sort of tasteless in the level of Olam Hazeh, but you add Torah to it, the Torah spices it up. So now it becomes meaningful and real. That's the point. So your Yetzer Hara is now usable. That's the Bishnei Yitzrecha. So it's much more than just an antidote. It actually provides the spice of life. So it's a very beautiful use. So therefore, I'm telling you that as long as Atem Eskim B'Torah, Im Atem Eskim B'Torah, you're not going to be given over into that hands of that Yetzer Hara. If you are Metiv, and Torah is called a Lekach Tov, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Cain, you know, if you make yourself B'Yosik Patera, in other words, your focus is on doing good, you're going to be the one that's going to win. We may not have Moskim B'Torah, but this is the only way. And if you're not going to use the Torah, you think that the way to win out on the Yetzer Hara is to, you know, be a good person. So then, Atem Nimsarim Biyado, you're going to end up being given over into the hands of the Yetzer. Shenemar Lev Petach Atat Rovetz. That sin is waiting for you right there the moment you come out into the world. V'lo'od, what you need to understand is that the Yetzer Hara is not a logistical issue. You know, it's an aspect that is there that can cause you to sin. No, that's not the point at all. There is a very profound connection, a desire for you. And this war that you're in with Ra, it's not just a war of mind. It is an actual sexual war. It's teshuka. The world desires you. It wants to eat you, as all crazy lovers are. It wants to swallow you alive. So that's the teshuka. This is not just like an armchair kind of issue. But imata rotzeh ata moshel. If you really want to, then you can get involved here in a war through using Torah, and then you will be the master. Shenemar v'ata timshol bo. Tana rabbana. Koshi Yetzer, this Yetzer is a disaster. I mean, even the one who made the Yetzer, which you think normally when you make something, so you think it's pretty good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh God, this thing is awful. Because he calls it ra, afilo yitzrokor ra. Shenema ki yetzer leva adam ra min urav. Omer of Yitzchak. It's more than just a standing kind of static war. It's a constant war. Yitzro shel adam mitchadesh alav b'chol yom. It's new things every day. Things that you didn't think of yesterday. And then all of a sudden, how could I have fallen for that? It's like, oh my gosh. There's always new things that you're going to be up against. Shenema rak rak kol hayom, it's kol hayom, every single moment of the day. V'yom Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, yitzro shel adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom uvakesh hamito. You're basically always in this arm wrestle, except it's a lot more than arms, and it's trying to destroy you, to totally wipe you out. It's not stung. Shenema tzofero shel tzadik uvakesh la hamito. It's trying to get you totally wiped out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help someone who is attempting to be Mizgaber in Yocholo. There's no way that you can be Mizgaber. Hashem lo yazvenu v'yado. This we saw from we've spoken about it many times, the incredible ma'asim of how the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't save you, like the mice with Rabbi Akiva, he used to laugh at people doing averes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him a lesson. He allowed the Yetzer Hara to affect him for a moment. Rabbi Akiva sees this gorgeous girl up in a tree, he climbs up the tree to rape the girl. This is Rabbi Akiva? This is Ilmol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no limits to what it is that if the person has the Nisoyan, so then there's no way for him to be Eimed unless he realizes that he's doing this together with HaKadosh Baruch. This is the wonderful Kotzker answer. It's the only real answer. Baruch Hashem, I was so good to say this answer. My son saw it was a Kotzker answer. but I believe it's the only real answer. The big question, it says Hashem Nisa, it's Avraham. The big question is, why is it only a Nisayan for Avram? The Akedah is only a Nisayan for Avram. I mean, Yitzchak's the one who's going to have his next lifetime. Like, isn't that a Nisayan for him? How is he going to respond? So, all the different terutzim, Yitzchak is Midas Adin, so he would do it for Avram. It was right. But the simple answer, says the Kotzker, such a beautiful answer. The reason it was only a Nisayan to Avram is because it says in the Pasuk, Hashem Nisa'at Avraham. That's the answer. Something is only a Nisayan when you're allowed to suddenly contemplate this as a possibility. If you don't think of it as a possibility, that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you. So then it's no Nisayan. But the moment it's a Nisayan, you don't have a chance. That's what's so beautiful about it. Okay, so then you need to start engaging in the war. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. So I brought up the Kotzker because it's also beautiful, beautiful. Kotzker was like very, very suspicious of all these good people. So Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel, this is said over here in the Brayta. B'ni, im pagam menuval zev. This is disgusting one. As disgusting as the Yetzer. He'll get you to do every disgusting thing in the world. So the thing to do is drag him into the Beis HaMidrash. And then, if he's made out of stone, he's going to just melt away. And if he's made out of metal, he's going to blow up. He'll shatter into pieces. Shenemar halocho dvarai ke'esh ne'um Hashem. So on the one hand, the Torah is considered to be the Dvar Hashem is like an esh. So here the Rabbi Tam understands this, and like a hammer that can shatter from a rock that is strong enough, then he brings a maisa with the sampiyon, that it means the sela will be mafotseitz the patish. So, and the im even unimoach, why do we say if it's a stone, it will just wear away? So, Torah is compared to water, not only to esh. The omer avanim shachakumai. Take a look at what it is that the Grand Canyon is. That's avanim shachakumai. The water is worn away, all of this canyon. And this is what happens over time. Gradually, the Torah wears away the evil in the person. Anyway, this is the question, because the Pashtos, as Tosfos says, in Barzel hu mitpotzeitz, most understand that kapatish potzeitz sela, is that the patish will break up the sela. So because of this, they have a different girsa, which is in Barzel hu nimoach hu mifafeav im sela hu mitpotzeitz, because normally rocks are broken up by the hammer. But as I said, that the Rabbi Natan talks about the type of sela that is so, and this would be the marshal to the Yetzer Hara, that the sela is so strong that even if you smash it with a hammer, the sela will bust up the hammer. So then it works in both directions. Anyway, there's a very beautiful, classical, cynical Kotzkervort on this, about if the maneuver grabs you, disgusting, then drag him to the base of Medrash, and the Torah will actually protect you. So the Kotzker asks, but what happens if it's the Menuvel who's dragging you to the base of Medrash? Isn't that beautiful? Classic Kotzker. Oh gosh, they always hit it. They always hit it right on the point. You know. Okay. Well. Okay, and this concludes the element of the Limud Torah that the father is mechuyev to do for his son. Now, the next thing the Mishnah said is that he's also mechuyev to get him married, la'asiyo isha. How do we know that, Bichlal? Well, when Klal Yisrael was sent to Bavel, so Yirmiyahu was given a missive to tell them, and he told them, you have to pray. That's the famous thing, to be mispal for the Shalom Ha'ir, where you're going to. And in the Shalom of that city, that will be your own Shalom, because this is where you're going to be living. So, Banu Batim, you're going to have to build homes, you're going to have to settle there, and so on, a disaster. But in any event, it says over there, and after you build these homes and so on, go find women, get married, have children, have sons, have daughters, take chuliv nechem nashim, take wives for your sons, give your daughters at benotechen, tenula anashim, te ladna banim uvanot, revusham v'malti matu. Yeah. Go and live there as if you're living in Eretz Yisrael. Don't give up, have children, continue to grow the population, because ultimately this is all part of the beautiful way that Yirmiyahu was told to deal with Klal Yisrael, to show them that there's a future and that there will be a return and that everything will come back. Okay, so it says over there that you're supposed to get your sons married off, says the Gemara Bishlam of Beno. I understand it's in really the hands of the father, you know, to deal with his getting his son married, because, I mean, men are the ones that basically are chasing after the woman. But Bito, how's he supposed to get his daughter married off? I mean, if nobody's turned on by his daughter, what is he supposed to do? I mean, he can't get anybody to marry his daughter. Does that be a doyi? Yeah, well, what Yirmiyahu was saying is, okay, Carmelo, nitela midi, ulavashia, nechasia. What you do is, you need to give her something nice, you know, buy her a nice car, give her money, let her have a nice bank account, make her exciting, buy beautiful clothes for her. That way the men will grab her. I want to just point out again, somebody wrote a whole article, by the way, about the previous sukkah that we had about how to be kein b'hagbon, an elephant. It was a rather cynical article because Tosfos used the lashon of the point of saying the zmurais, davka, pile of zmurais, is because elephants like to eat zmurais. So Tosfos says, so when the elephant sees it, it'll jump up on the zmurais in order to eat it. And that way, meanwhile, we'll have done hakabah. So this guy writes this whole article that, well, see that Balei Tosfos didn't know anything about science because elephants can't jump, you know? Do you notice the word over here? Yeah, what do you think that means? The boys will all go, wow, and they will grab her, right? So it's someone who doesn't know the Lashon of the Gemara, the Kofzu. Yeah. Same thing with Kofatz Venishba. We have the same Lashon. It doesn't mean...
Kafatzalav Zikna.
Beautiful. Another beautiful Raya. Right? So someone who takes things a little too literally, he stops being a bentera. That's what happens. Okay. Lalamda Umanut. The next thing that the Mishnah says is you're mechuyev to teach Umanut. That means to give him... So on the Bapashtis it means there should be a career that you teach him. You give him a craft of some kind. Because umanut means, you know, it's to teach him to be a doctor, whatever. So how do we know that? Omar Chizkia di Omar Kro. Re'e chayim imisha asher ahavt. See life with the woman of your life, of your love, the love of your life. So now, what is that life? It's the same thing that we say in English. I need to make a living, right? Re'e chayim, make a living when you're going to have this wife. Okay. So now that means it's comparing the living, which is the career, the income, to the woman. So I don't know what this woman means. I mean, because we sometimes use the word woman to mean literally a woman, but sometimes we use woman to mean like Eishes Chayil Miyimtzer could mean Teira, right? That's a remez to Eishes Chayil is the Memches Dvorim. Chayil is Memches. Memches Dvorim, Shatora Niknet Behem. So Eishet Chayil is also, we always talk about women and Teira as being basically the same type of relationship of love. So that's what we talk about. Kabbalah Satira being the equivalent of a marriage. Okay, I'm sure you remember all of the places where this comes up. So now, whatever it means in the pasuk, Re'e Chayim Im Isha Asher Ahavta, that could mean with the woman of your life, or it could mean with the Torah of your life. But whichever one it means, the mitzvah is the same, you see, because whatever it means, then it would still work out that you're mechuyev to make a living for your son. Give him a living. If it means literally a woman, so then it would mean kishem shechayev la'asiyo yisha, kachayev la'lamda umanut. We just said, you have to get him married, so it means you're also mechuyev to give him chayim. And if it's a reference that isha, the chayim im isha, shahafta is referring to Torah, remember we had even the wild gemaras before about, you know, about the kohenet, you know, the red-haired wild girl, which turned out to be Masechet Zvachim. It was the same kind of thing. So im torahi kishem shechayev lelamdo torah. So even if it's comparing the living to the Torah, so the same way that you're mechuyev to teach your son Torah, so you're also mechuyev to teach him a living. And so according to that, the chiyuv would be mamish the same. Okay, this is a fascinating kind of thing because it has all kinds of, I feel bad. I forgot to mention also yesterday, I wanted to talk about just a couple, if you don't mind, because this is Nogei La'alocha, that's why I was bringing it up. And I remember there were other things I wanted to talk about just for 1 minute, La'alocha. We talked about yesterday, the chaseros v'yateros, right? And we say anan lo bekiyin. And I mentioned to you that this is very Nogei, so... There's a number of things in which it's nogeya halacha lamaisa. I mean, first of all, as I mentioned yesterday, that in the event that you find a psul in a sefer Torah in the middle of laning, which has to do with chaseros and yateros, and it doesn't change anything, it doesn't change how you pronounce it, doesn't change the meaning, you don't take out another sefer. That's a tremendous thing. Also, do you make a bracha for ksiva sefer Torah? We don't make a bracha for Ksiva Sefer Torah because of the fact that we're not Bekiyim. Or this may be the reason why L'chatchila, that it was no takon of a bracha at the time. That's the machlokas of the poskim. But anyway, there's mamish, a tremendous difference. I also wanted to bring you a beautiful story that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes about himself in one of his svarim. So he says, when he talks about this Gemara, so he brings the fact, as I mentioned yesterday, that the Gra mentions, and this the Gra brings it by the in the name of the Zohar, that if there's a makaf in the word, so then it's considered to be one word. So that changes the difference that we find between the supposed first exact half and the second exact half in the number of words. So he writes over there in his Sefer, I actually counted all of the words, right? So hinei anochi maniti, I did this myself, and I found that in the first half of the Sefer Torah, there's 34,284 words. And in the second half, there's 33,506 words. So even utilizing the Gra, so, and that's much closer than most of the other, it's much closer to each other than the other countings are. So he suggests, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that maybe it's possible that we're not Bekim in Makafim also. The same way that we're not Bekim in Chaseres V'Yaseres, we're not Bekim in the Misera of the Makafim. So it could be that Chazal utilizing the Gros Sfara over here is actually, would be exactly right if you knew the actual number. So this is the, then there's the question, La Halacha, about the idea of teaching the Parnasa Halacha L'maisa. There's been a lot, obviously, as you know, there's a lot of issues about these things. And let's take a look at the end of the sugya before we get to Halacha actually on this and take a look at some of the nafkaminas. The next piece that we had in the Mishnah, and then we'll get back to this, next piece we had in the Mishnah was Yesh Omrim, Af Lahashito Benahar. Okay, you have to teach him how to swim. So why do you have to teach him how to swim? Where do we get that from? Because Chiyutehu, look, something that a child's life may actually depend on your giving him the tools to live. So that's Chaim, isn't it? So that's Chiyutehu. Didn't we say Re'e Chaim Yimishtecha? So if that's the case, then that Chaim would include actually giving him the possibility to survive in the event that he was, maybe he was dragged out to sea when he went out to the beach. I mean, Shem Yishmor, how many drownings there are that we know about every year that comes from kids that were never taught how to swim, especially in from kids that they're not, they don't have the resources. And because of that, there's a mitzvah to teach him how to swim. There's a wonderful, wonderful mimer of Rav Henkin, which is incredible insight, in which Rav Henkin says that this chiyuv of chiyusehu means that today you have to give your child an advanced education. He held it was a mitzvah to send children to college. As Rav Henkin was, this was before the word frum was discovered, but he was an incredible pesik and a gain and a tzaddik. I mean, and nobody doubted that. And he said, look, if you don't teach children how to survive in today's society, and this he said 70 years ago, today's society, you understand? I mean, imagine nowadays. So today's society. So if you don't give them the tools to survive, then if you were worried about the chance that a kid is going to end up in water and be dragged out to sea, you don't think that there's a heck of a bigger chance that he'll end up being attacked by all of the things in society today and be dragged away from Yiddishkeit? So Allah has kama v'kama, that you're mechuyev to provide him chiyuse. And again, we know tens of thousands, literally, of kids, thousands and thousands every year, that are dragged away from families because of the fact that they were not prepared to deal with the world. And instead, they were just protected. Obviously, you can only protect people so much. So I remember this is like, I'm talking about like 60 years ago. I first got married. I had these little brother-in-laws running around in Cleveland. Cleveland thought that they were still in Europe. They still do, but they were sure that they were still in Europe. So I mean, as for Shalom, that they should ever be exposed to a television or anything like that. I didn't even know what it thought. My wife didn't even know how to speak English until she ended up going to school. So she was 6 years old. Then she learned how to speak English. Fine. So what did they used to do? They used to sneak out of the house And there was a fire department that was like a few blocks away. They would go, they made friends with the firemen, and they would sit and watch TV with the firemen. Now, obviously, firemen are not exactly the best kind of hashpa on these nice little Jewish boys, right? You can imagine what else they pick up from the firemen. So by protecting them from the TV, they ended up being exposed to everything worse. Anyway, it's just so real, Revenkin's Psak, so real. Okay, so this is Chiyusi. Now, the question is that it says at the end of the Brice, Rav Yehuda Omer, Kol she'ino melamdo umanut, melamdo listut. If you don't teach him a craft of some kind, because umanut means literally some kind of skill, so then you're teaching him to be a highway robber. So what do you mean? I mean, you didn't teach him anything. I mean, it's not as if you taught him something, and then he's going to misuse it. So how can you say you taught him listut? Listut sakadaitach, ela ki'ilu melamdo listut. It's as if you taught him to be a highway robber. Now, is there any difference? I mean, that's what the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama said, you have to teach him to make a living. And Reb Yehuda says, and if you don't, so then you might as well be teaching him to go out and be a drug dealer. So what's the difference between the two approaches? An amazing difference. Ikibinayu de agmere iska. The question is, according to the Tanakhama, if you get your kid into business, that's just as good as giving him a skill. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it's a skill or bust. Because business is bust many times. And what happens then? So no matter what the economy is, people still need dentists, but they do not need their new car. And therefore, you're going to end up not giving him his chiyus by simply giving him a business career. Those kind of things are too iffy. So according to Rav Yehuda, you wouldn't be yotze. So he could be nayodag mariska. You bring him into a business. According to Tanakhama, that's enough. Not according to Rav Yehuda. Now there's actually a whole, this is a little bit of a psak of Rav Meisha that has caused a lot of problems. I must say. So Rav Meisha was mechadish because people asked him. So, I mean, how about today where you can get a good job in the rabbonis that will pay you enough money so you could teach your child to be a rabbi? So maybe you could be yotze according to the rabbonis just as good by being a rabbi as being in business. Right? So actually, Ramesha Paskin, that nowadays that everybody was matir this, that you can take money for being a rabbi, and this became the norm. So in Achina, according to this, it should be enough to give him a career as a rabbi. Okay, that's also interesting. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion when it says Yubachayev Lalamda Umnus, is that on the same darga? Would we be allowed to teach Umnus in the Beit HaKnesset? Can you take off money to teach a child a career out of your tzedakah money, the same way that you can take it out of your tzedakah money if you don't have any other money in order to teach him Torah, and so on and so forth. There are a lot of shailas about how much this compares to the kishem, because after all, it's re'eh chayim imisha asher ahavta. And the way the Gemara came out is kishem shechayev lalamde Torah, if isha is Torah, so it's the same chiyev lalamde umnas, which is quite amazing. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the next. Then the Mishnah says it in the other direction. Kol mitzvot ta'av al habein. So what does that mean? I mean, it sounds like all the mitzvahs that a father is chayav to do for his son, which of course is ridiculous because that was what the first part of the Mishnah said. But it's also ridiculous because it isn't true. Because it says over there, Noshim are chayavot also. So that's why I can't mean that. Because then how could it say Noshim chayavot? Didn't we just learn that Vatanya, only the father is chayav in Mila, in Pinyan Aben, and all of these other things. That means his father, but not his mother. Avivini Malot. Amar Rav Yehuda, here too, the Mishnah means the opposite. Hochikom. Kol mitzvot ha'av hamutalot al habein la'asot la'aviv, mitzvot that are on the child, that are nogea his father, mitzvot for his father. So the same way as we spoke about yesterday, that the Gemara here, this perek, is miyache the inyanim of Baalut, and the kinyanim of Baalut, that issue of the relationship to Baalut, and where someone has zechuyot and chiyuvim, Baalut is husbandry. So it's all very nice to talk about the rights, but most importantly, it's the responsibilities. Like we said, you're Canaan Evan Ivri, you just bought yourself a master. That's the point. So this Baalut works in both directions. Don't think we didn't see Dr. Barry try to sneak out over here just as things are getting interesting. Oh, yes. Yes, Gabi was telling me, no, I didn't see Dr. Barry yesterday at Daf Yomi. What do you mean? And then I understood. All right. We won't cause attention here. It's sort of late for Dr. Barry. Moshe Foreman's got a hand up. That's probably why Dr. Barry wanted to run. Yes, quickly, you're interrupting the daf. I hope it's a kedai.
Is it possible that the kashem of the Chayv Lulam Datara and Umnus is essentially that it's kolol within the chiyuv of Torah, because otherwise one's a mitzvah saseh and one's just a nasmachta from a pasuk?
That's part of the discussion of the poskim in terms of where you're allowed to do it. If you're allowed to teach them in the base of medrash, you're allowed to teach them in shul.
It would be if it's Torah or not.
It would be begetter the chiyuvim of teaching Torah, because it's chayim. Like, look, we find in the Gemara. The Gemara talks so often about things that are nogei achius, right? And that's what the Gemara says. I mean, there were those talmidim who walked out and didn't come here to learn about, you know, medications. What's all this ridiculous limud? It's an
honorable. That's the best part, right?
So that's the chiyusi. Is exactly the same lotion, right? Chayim. Okay,
it's the chayim lemetzei and in terms of saying.
Okay, so therefore, what it means is the mitzvahs that are chiyuvim based on the relationship of father and son, which essentially means that the Mishnah is telling us what the Braita said, that when it says in the pasuk ish aviv imo tiro, so that means what? Only if a man is chayiv to be yorei of him, ein li ala ish, isha binayim. So as we saw, kishu omer tiro is the plural. It's obviously referring to both women and men. Then why did it say ish? That's because of this issue that we're discussing here in Kiddushin. And that is, the Rebbe pointed out yesterday, also posted, that this is a fascinating thing, because Gufa over here should be the place where we have the Rechaim B'Tzavore and the involvement with the woman, and yet that's the place where we're learning of the Chiyuvim of Limutera, and so on. So how long you're allowed to wait with this Limutera? They seem to be contradictory. And yet today, the Gemara comes to address also that point, which is the issue of Chaim im Isha, the interrelationship between Isha and Tera itself. It's not just that it happens to be that we're discussing it. It's mamish the same relationship. So therefore, an ish, why does it say in the Torah, ish gufa, to be meramesh to these questions that occur here in Kedushin? Because an ish is able to have these chiyuvim. He's his own boss. He doesn't have the responsibilities that a woman has. She's not going to be living in some other city because her husband got a career halfway across the globe and she doesn't even have an opportunity to visit her parents. So what? I mean, how is she going to be able to be given the chiyuv, the same chiyuv of a man? That's why it says ish, which is astounding, because normally the Torah would not mention the logistics. Either she does or she doesn't. I mean, it's not a difference in the etzem chiyuv, is it, between the ish for isha? So why would the Torah write ish? It's shocking. But that must be gufa part of the point, that since the same reason that we're bringing up these chiyuvim here, because they are part of chayim, of the way that life works out, and the way that that is mechayev you, and the getter of how it is that you're mechayev your mitzvahs, and therefore it belongs right here. So how does chayim define how to be mechayev your mitzvahs? Did the Torah ever say pur vu with a woman that you marry? It says pur vu, so give sperm to a sperm bank and be mechayev pur vu. Nobody would say that that's a kiyum of pur vu. Why? Because Lamaisa, the way that Chaim is definitive of the nature of how the mitzvahs are meant to be incorporated into life. So the same thing is true over here. It's an amazing point, which is the reason that this Mishnah is here. If the Torah itself writes, Ish Avi V'Imo Tiro, that is so shocking. It means that the getter of the mitzvah takes into consideration the norms of how life works out for people. So the ish sipek biyado lasot, isha b'derech klal, ein sipek biyado lasot, mipnei shereshut acharim aleha. She's got this husband who's making her crazy. Every time she goes visits her parents and tries to do something for them and so on, she's not in the same situation and she doesn't have the same income. Omer revidi barovin omer rav. Okay, but that's only in Kedushin. If we were learning Gittin, once she gets a get, now she's free. So she can take care of her parents. So if nidgar shah, shneim shavim. So now both the Isha and the Isha have the same chiyuvim of kavod and yira. Tana Rabban. Ne'emar, you see that it says kabedet avicha ve'etimecha. Uses the same lashon from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ne'emar, kabedet Hashem mihonecha. So what does that mean? It means that the Torah actually sees the two things as being similar. Hishva katuv kibud ave'em l'chvod ha'makom. The same way that it's a tzivoy on the kvod shamayim, it's a tzivoy on kvod ave'em. It says ish imo v'aviv tirou, and it says it's Hashem lokecha tira, voto ta'avod. Hishva katuv mora'at ave'em l'mora'at ha'makom. So you see the din of yira. How about mikalel? Mikalel aviv imo mot yumat. And by someone who blasphemes, so it says ish ish yikalel elohav v'nasach eto hishvakatuv birkat aveim levirkat hamakom. This means that we see that klala is the same also. The only place where we don't find it to be the same is by haka'a, because there's no way to be makya kadosh baruch hu. Makya kadosh baruch hu is used in the sense of yakeh yosi at yosi, like the Gemara says, but that's klala. And the truth is, it makes sense for the Torah to insist that the chiyuvim are the same. Sheshloshtam shetafim bo, all three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a father and a mother, are basically partners in the creation of life.